Okay, so this question tells us straight up that we have Hodgkin disease and there was history of radiation. Okay, patients with Hodgkin will often receive radiation to the chest. In this case, we can infer this means this patient has pulmonary fibrosis, restrictive lung disease. They even tell us spirometry shows greater than predicted maximal expiratory flow. So the core to this question is just saying, look, in restrictive lung disease, we have a normal or elevated FEV1 over FVC. In obstructive, we know FEV1 over FVC is decreased. Now, the question is, why do we have that normal or increased ratio in restrictive lung disease? Why, right? Now, you ask students that question, they'll say, oh, well, it's just that even though in both obstructive and restrictive lung diseases, FEV1 and FVC as independent variables, even though they both decrease, it's just that in restrictive lung disease, FEV1 doesn't decrease as much as FVC, and that's why the ratio is normal or elevated. So, in a qualitative sense, yes, that makes sense, but it still doesn't answer why that's the case. So, the answer here is radial traction on the airways. That's why. So, you can think of fibrosis as essentially a stickiness, okay? A colloquialism, we say stickiness on the outside of the airways that prevents them from closing as readily. So that's why the amount of air we can breathe out in that first second, FEV1, is slightly greater than we'd expect than, let's say, in obstructive lung conditions where we don't have that stickiness on the outside of the airways. So that fibrosis, it's sticky. That's called radial traction. That's why our FEV1 is slightly greater than we'd expect, or we should say it doesn't decrease as much as we'd expect, and in turn, our ratio is normal or elevated in restrictive lung disease. Now, choice A, greater alveolar collapse due to fibrosis, just wrong answer. I just wrote that in for the sake of it. Same thing with hyperinflation of the pulmonary parenchyma. It's just not correct. Hyperinflation, you could see in obstructive lung diseases such as asthma, COPD. They could tell us increased AP. Anterior posterior diameter, barrel chest. Sometimes they'll tell you on chest X-ray, mild hyperinflation. That's consistent with asthma usually. And a lot I can chat about. I think just giving you an extra piece of value without going off too much is they like giving you questions on sarcoidosis where they'll say like 32-year-old African American with dry cough, and you're like, oh, so that sounds like sarcoidosis, but rather than telling you chest X-ray shows bihilar lymphadenopathy, they'll tell you chest X-ray is normal or chest X-ray shows mild hyperinflation, and that refers to asthma, not sarcoidosis. So that's 2 CK level, that distinction right there. And then the final answer is vasodilation secondary to hypercapnia and vasodilation secondary to hypoxia. It's actually the opposite. Not only are those not correct here, but in the setting of low oxygen tension in the lungs. And in turn, hypercapnia, increased CO2 would mean low oxygen. So choices D and E are the same thing. We would actually get hypoxic vasoconstriction, not vasodilation. So radial traction, okay? Learn that term. It sounds really weird, sounds really obscure. I know it's not. This is actually something that's asked quite frequently on NBME exams for step one. That's it.